Joining us now is Janet Napolitano, who's the Secretary of Homeland Security in the Obama administration. Madam Secretary, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk first for, you know, the reason why you're on the program. One of the reasons why you're on the program. I know you want to reassure the nation like the president does from the Oval Office tonight. But first, in terms of cutting edge technology there at the Homeland Security Laboratory that you're visiting, what new techniques are suddenly available that you're going to be trying out to help screen air travelers and make air travel more safe in the United States?
Well, one of the things we're looking at is, and we're going to the Transportation Security Lab, is new technology to detect and mitigate, for example, improvised explosive devices, explosive trace detection machinery, all kinds of ways to make sure that when a passenger gets on a plane, he's not bringing onto that plane something that could be used, like Abdulmutallab intended to use PETN on Christmas Day.
And these are going to be rolled out over the next how long of a period?
Oh, over the next months, some are being tested, some are well underway, but they're all designed to make sure that we are not just being reactive to the last threat, but really thinking proactively about what threats in the future could look like.
Well, you know, on that specific point, I'm wondering if it's a bit of a heartbreak to you as Secretary of Homeland Security right now that the U.S. government wasn't more proactive on the threats, the disastrous potential of deep water oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, I'll tell you, I think there's going to be a lot of investigation and hindsight given to the whole deep water drilling phenomenon. It will be to the permitting, the inspection, the requirements for the deep water drillers. There's a whole host of things that need to be revisited in connection with deep water drilling, no doubt.
But here you have the same kinds of interagency rivalries, the lack of communication between agencies. And this morning in the New York Times, there's all sorts of discussion that boats are in one place, the oil's in another place. The communication doesn't exist for the BP officials to call the boats to tell them where the oil is, to put the booms down. I mean, that seems to fall sort of in the Homeland Security domain.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things is, you know, you're using the Louisiana Area Contingency Plan. These things were set up state by state by state. So a lot of these things are state-specific. But one of the things that the Coast Guard, for example, is doing now is for all the local boats that are working on response, they have to have a responder in them that allows them to be directly in connect with a spotter, the spotter who sees oil either by the air or on the sea, to send that shrimp boat, that oyster vessel, whatever, out to where the oil is. In terms of the boom, there are lots of issues about boom, and I'll tell you, boom is not the answer for a lot of the oil spill. It's, you know, the water goes over it, the water comes
right
under it, and it also degrades very quickly over time. So you have to spend a lot of effort overflying it and replacing it, repairing it. It helps, don't get me wrong, but in the end, it's only one of a whole arsenal of tools that need to be employed.
You know, Secretary, the discussion of better technology in terms of preventing terrorist attacks on airplanes really has echoes in the BP spill. I was reading the article today talking about how the Deepwater Horizon rig was built in South Korea, operated by a Swiss company for a British company, and then they had it run under the Republic of the Marshall Islands in order to skirt some regulations. And that's kind of the same sort of challenges you reach in terms of airport security, that when you start involving other governments, it's hard to have control.
Well, that's why, you know, in the wake of Christmas Day, we sat down and said, look, this guy, Abdulmutallab, you know, he came out of Lagos, he flew through Amsterdam and then on to Detroit. This aviation system we have in the world is an international system, and if you can get on anywhere, you potentially have access to all. So what we did is we reached out to ICAO, which is the aviation branch of the UN, and we've been involved now in a series of regional meetings around the globe. I just finished one in Abu Dhabi to reach an international consensus on aviation security, improved screening processes, sharing of best practices. We'll have a global assembly in Montreal in September, all designed to recognize that every country in the world has a stake in the safety of aviation security. There were passengers from 17 countries on Flight 253. So Abdulmutallab was not just aiming at U.S. citizens. He was really aiming at the world, and the world has a stake in making sure that that aviation security system is as strong as possible.
All right. Well, Madam Secretary, that's kind of disturbing, though, getting back to the Gulf then. I mean, the homeland security is everywhere. You know, there's only one border. It's all the United States. And it sounds to me like you're more confident in dealing with the Nigerians on air safety than you are dealing with people in Florida and Louisiana on state sovereignty issues to protect everyone in the United States. And I have to say, that's disturbing.
Yeah, I don't think you're interpreting what I said accurately. What I said is, look, the way the oil spill laws work in the United States is that every state has its own plan. And so some of the things you read in the New York Times this morning, for example, are the result of things that were in Louisiana's state plan. The plans in Mississippi and Alabama and Florida are somewhat different. Now, the Coast Guard is interacting with all four of those states and finding resources and deploying resources and opening staging areas and opening command centers all over the place. But they are, when you kind of reach down, they are dealing with four state plans. And that's the way the law was set up.
But then the law has to change. I mean, a dead pelican isn't dead because of Louisiana's plan. It's because somebody didn't protect the homeland, didn't protect the ecosystem.
No, let's be very clear. It's dead because BP had a well that exploded, and it's a well that keeps spilling oil into the Gulf of Mexico. This thing begins with British Petroleum, and it's their responsibility to cap this well. The Coast Guard's going to make sure that the cleanup is done, and that BP pays for it, and that BP ultimately pays the claims of those who've been damaged, as well as for the environmental restoration that will need to occur.
But if there's lack of coordination and problems, you're going to say, okay, that's Louisiana's plan, that's Alabama's plan.
No, don't put words in my mouth.
I'm just trying to...
At the beginning, British Petroleum, they drilled this well. The well exploded. There's going to be a lot of investigation as to what actually occurred on that rig. It's their responsibility to cap this well. The Coast Guard is making sure that we clean the surface of the sea, boomers, skimmers, burning. There's a certain amount of evaporation that goes on. And that onshore cleanup is happening as quickly as possible. The manpower is deployed. The National Guard, President Obama authorized the National Guard on in the first week after the explosion of the rig. So all of that is occurring. But in the end, BP will have to pay for it all.
All right. Well, describing a very, very tough job that she has along with others in the federal government, Janet Napolitano, Secretary of Homeland Security, talking about the Gulf and new screening technology for air travelers. Madam Secretary, thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks a lot.